Good morning. My name is Andrew. I am the youth director here at Taft Avenue, and I'm excited to be with you guys. So yeah, hopefully you can say the same afterwards. That is a good time for you. But yeah, looking forward to it. And yeah. So this last week, Craig briefly mentioned the importance of the Old Testament, specifically touching on the story of Jesus. And it really struck me. I remember I wrote it down in my notes because I knew what I was going to be teaching on today. But I wrote down, of like, man, that's a great connection for what I'm going to be talking about too. Right? I think that for all of us, and maybe it's just me, but it can be easy to sometimes forget about the Old Testament. Right? We can just look at the New Testament only and say Jesus is there, and then forget about everything that happens before it. Right, and so when I think of that, I was thinking, like, man, there's got to be some good verses in mind that talk about that. And Craig brought it up last week, which was perfect. But last week, Craig mentioned 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, which reads, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Right, and I like this verse when it talks about the Old Testament, because when it's saying in accordance with the Scriptures, it's talking about the Old Testament. He's showing the importance here, the importance of the whole Bible, and how the redemption of humanity through Christ was something that was prophesied about and written about in connection to the whole Bible. And this is a great reminder for me, you know, to focus on the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And so with that in mind, this last spring, we had the opportunity to look through the story of Jonah as a youth group. During the spring, we went through every verse, every chapter, worked our way through it. We looked at all of the elements of, is it a big fish or is it a whale? You know, all those sort of things that come to mind when you think of the story of Jonah. We also talked about the sailors. We talked about Jonah's different conversations with God and everything in between. And so today, I'm focusing our passage on the end of Jonah, how the story ends, right? But I'm also going to be speaking on the story as a whole and what we kind of learned from our time in youth group as we went through the whole book of Jonah. And Jonah might be a story that many of you have heard before, right? You think of, oh, he got swallowed by a whale and he was spit out after 3 days or whatever. So this might be a story that is familiar to many of you. I know it's familiar for me, and it was familiar for many of our youth students, too. And so I'm going to ask the same of you as I did of our students, that to come at this with an open mind, right? That there are still things to be learned about this story. The story is not one that is just fixed in that, okay, I know everything about it already, but it is still one that hopefully you can still continue to learn from. And so I think that is important for us as we look at the Old Testament, but specifically with Jonah, because the story of Jonah can help shape our image of God. And for me, it helped change and shape my image of God, specifically with how he relates to his people. Right? It's not just an Old Testament story that's very one-sided of, okay, this is what happens and then that's it. But it's a story where we can learn about God in a variety of new ways. And so with that in mind, we find our passage beginning in chapter 3, verse 10, and going all the way through chapter 4. Right, the reason why I included chapter 3, verse 10 at the end is because it shows us what God ultimately does, right, of where the people of Nineveh are forgiven by God because they repented, they turned from their evil way, and so God relented from the disaster that was promised of them. And so then we see in verse 1 of chapter 4 that it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Right, and so Jonah knows that God is forgiving these people. He is not going to condemn them. And then we jump to verse 5 of chapter 4, where Jonah still goes out to the city, right? It says, Jonah went out to the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. And so even though Jonah knows that God has forgiven these people, his heart is still not necessarily in the right place. And so chapter 4 gives us a great glimpse into Jonah's heart, especially after all of the events that have happened. Right, he makes a booth, which is reminiscent of the festival and the feast of the booths and the tabernacles. And it's a reminder of these times in which God has delivered his people. And it's also a reminder of the promise of a coming Messiah. Right, and we see elements of both deliverance, of where God has delivered the Ninevites from disaster, and also the promise of the coming Messiah, which we'll get to later. And so it's a great element of where Jonah's making a booth, and it's reminding us of both looking into the past with the Israelites and also looking towards the future with the Messiah. But where we find Jonah in verse 5 of chapter 4 is that he's making his way out to the city, and he's waiting to see what's going to happen to it. Right? Even though he already knows that God has promised that he is going to forgive these people, he still was kind of hoping that God is going to promise like the disaster upon them. Right? I imagine that Jonah's sitting there, he's got his popcorn ready, he's just waiting, he's got extra butter on it, you know, he's just hoping for something good to happen. Right? Because his heart is still against the Ninevites. He still is not aligned with God. He's not trusting in God in the same way that he should. Even after everything that's happened in Jonah, his heart is still in this spot, right? He saw God control nature multiple times throughout this time. He even got swallowed by a big fish for a few days, and even preached the name of God in a place that was hostile towards his people, and nothing bad happened to him as a result. In fact, not only did nothing bad happen to him, but also all these people repented. And yet, even after all of these things, Jonah is still questioning God. You know, he sees the people of Nineveh repenting and trusting in God, and he's still wanting to condemn them. He's looking back at what they had done in the past to his people, and he's saying, these people still deserve destruction. And we already know that as we looked at the end of chapter 3, that God is not going to destroy these people. And even Jonah already had a conversation with God about this, but his heart is still not aligned even after this conversation. Right, he knows God's plan, and yet he's wanting to follow his own plan. And this is not something that should be taken lightly, right, of where Jonah is angry and he's disobedient with the one true God, the God who is controlling nature, who has the decision to make for all of these people. And so it's not something that we should take lightly that Jonah is disagreeing with God here. And putting it plainly, when we look at Jonah's heart, it's just not in the right place, right? He's not aligned with God. He doesn't think the same as God does here. He sees what God's plan is, and he's wishing for the opposite. And I think for me, and maybe for you, we have the benefit as the 21st century readers to just kind of condemn Jonah, saying, you know, Jonah's wrong in this, right? You know, get it together, Jonah. Clearly you need to follow God's plan. Like, it makes so much sense to us as just the readers of it, right? It's easy to kind of condemn Jonah in these ways. And we can even do the same with the Israelites, right? If we look at the Old Testament, we say, Israelites, why are you worshiping a golden calf right after you've just been saved from Egypt, right? There's so many different examples in the Old Testament and the New where we can just look at these people and say, why are they doing that, right? And I find myself doing that with Jonah as I was reading through it. But it's also important for us to see that oftentimes we can do the same thing, right? We might might condemn Jonah or the Israelites for what they did and what they have said without having the humility to recognize that, unfortunately, there are many times in our own lives where we are just like them. We might say that Jonah is wrong for not forgiving the Ninevites, but then turn and hold on to our own bitterness towards someone who we need to forgive as well. And we might condemn Jonah for not trusting in God on his end, but then on our own end, we might get angry with him when things don't go our way. Right? And those are just two examples of many that come to mind when we think of trusting in God versus the story of Jonah where he's not. But the point being, you know, we are like Jonah at times where we have hard hearts that we don't always see what God is doing in the moment. It's easy to condemn Jonah, but I'm hoping that we can have a view that's more of one that's saying, yes, what Jonah's doing is wrong, but also being able to relate that, you know, he's not perfect and neither are we. And so that's how we kind of can view Jonah's heart. Even after all these things have happened, he still is in this spot of where he's not trusting in God in the way that he should. And so what God does is that God gives Jonah an object lesson. Right? We're going back to the story now of where we see this story of the wind, the plant, and the worm. It's kind of a weird, confusing way to end the story of Jonah. But even when Jonah is still, he's still disagreeing with God, you know, God has not abandoned him. Jonah, just before this, is even saying that he's mad at how merciful and gracious God is. And then God just has another example with him after this with these examples. Right. In fact, even when Jonah is in disagreement with God, God still gives him some shade. right? He appoints a plant to provide shade for him. And then we see this confusing story of where essentially God grows this plant to shade Jonah. And then Jonah goes from being angry about the situation to where he's happy. He has some shade. He's happy about that. And then God uses a worm to destroy the plant and have it wither. And then he sends the Santa Ana winds, as I say, the scorching winds, right? We know a lot about that here. But he sends these hot winds to go and make Jonah very uncomfortable. And so then Jonah goes back from being happy about the situation to he's wanting to die again. Right, and so God at this point in the passage, he's not just having a conversation with Jonah, but he's showing him what he means more now. He's having a different way of communication with him. He's already had direct conversations, but now he's showing him what he means in a different way. Right, and this story, as I said, it's a little bit confusing, but it's not without meaning. Right, and thankfully, we get an explanation of what it means in verses 10 and 11 at the end of the passage. Right, verse 10 reads, "And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" And then the story ends. Right, we don't see Jonah's response or anything that happens. The story just ends right there. But in a story of Jonah, which is kind of just, you know, an outlier in many ways, if he can be described as like the anti-prophet, right, where he's not the one who's obedient. I feel like this is the perfect ending for Jonah, just kind of a weird explanation, but a great way to kind of tie in another way in which we can view God. Right, God expresses to Jonah that he has pity on these people because he created them. He cares about his people. You know, Jonah's sad about this plant that was dying because it just showed up one day and gave him shade, and then it was gone, and he was sad about that. And so God is saying, how much more do I care about my people? Right, to paraphrase what God is saying here and at the end of Jonah, you could say that it can be described as, if you feel compassion about destruction of the vine that you did not create, how much more concerned should I be about the destruction of the people and the cattle which I did create? It speaks again towards God's care towards all people, right? God didn't just create humanity and abandon them, right? He created humanity and he created each person and he cares for them. And this end of Jonah gives us a very unique glimpse into that we don't always see in every other aspect of Scripture, but we get a very clear connection here where God is directly saying that he cares about his people. Right, he's not just saying that he cares only about the Ninevites, but all those who he created, which is all of you guys, me, everybody here. Right, God cares about you. And that's not something that should be taken lightly in the same way that Jonah's disobedience shouldn't be, but you know, it's important that we understand that God cares about every single one of us. He has not abandoned you, but he cares for you. And like I said, that's how the story ends, in a very unique way. And thankfully, though, we get to see a little bit more of who God is at the end of it. But I kind of want to go back for a second and look more at Jonah's heart. And then now that we've gotten a glimpse into who God is, we get more of a glimpse into Jonah's heart versus God's heart. Right? We get to the heart of what Jonah is upset about. And he's upset that God is not acting justly. He's upset that these people are not getting what they deserved, of where these people were terrible towards his people, and he's saying that they deserve to die for it. These people deserve to die for their wickedness, and Jonah wants that. Right? What Jonah is looking for here is he's looking for strict justice. Right? Strict justice meaning that if you do something bad, then it directly leads to a consequence. Right, he's saying that, okay, these people were murderers, they were terrible people, and so they deserve to be punished for that. And, you know, as much as we might say, no, Jonah, you need to forgive these people, have forgiveness on them, I know that I can find myself, or maybe you can too, in a similar situation of where you might be thinking just towards someone, I want that person to get what they deserve, right? Even if it's not something major, but maybe you've been in a moment of where you've been wrong too. But yeah, for Jonah, this was a time that he had truly been wronged. There was people that were impacted in his life, right? So it's easy for us as outsiders to condemn Jonah and say, Jonah, you just need to forgive. But it also is very reasonable to make sense that he is upset that, you know, God, he wants him to act in strict justice. He wants him to just say, these people did something wrong, therefore they need to be punished for it. And so I want to be able to sympathize with Jonah here a little bit, where he's not just wanting punishment on these people for no reason. They clearly had done things that God also found deserving of punishment. But like I said, Jonah is asking for strict justice. He wants them to get what they deserve. And thankfully, this is not how God acts. This is not how God chooses to act in this moment. Instead of following Jonah's wishes and wanting strict justice, God is acting mercifully. Right? He doesn't punish the people of Nineveh like they deserve to be, because there is no doubt about that. Even the Ninevites knew that they deserved punishment, which is why they repented, right? But instead, God acts in compassion. He acts in compassionate justice towards his people, of where they're not just getting what they deserve, but instead God is extending compassion towards them and forgiveness. And like I said a moment ago, thankfully, God chooses not to act in this way towards them. Because God's forgiveness of the Ninevites is great news for us. Right? The story with the Ninevites here shows how God has compassion for us. Where if God acted as Jonah wanted him to, and God remained constant in this, right, then he would also lead to the same punishment for us, of where then God would judge us with strict justice as well. Like, if sin leads to death, which it does, as we've explored in youth group, as we've been going through Ephesians as well, and God acts in strict justice to us, then there would no chance of us ever being with him. But because God acts in compassionate justice, we are able to be with him. Right? We don't have to face the punishment for our sins because God provided another in our place. We've been going through 2 Corinthians, and we'll be finishing that this next week here at Taft, but 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a verse that I feel fits perfectly in this, where it reads, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Right, and going back to Jesus, it talks about how Jesus took our sin so that we don't have to. Jesus was sinless, meaning he knew no sin, as the passage reads, but he took our place so that we can be with him forever. You know, God does not act in strict justice here with the story of Nineveh, but he provides a way out. He provides compassion for them in the same way that with Jesus, Jesus is provided as our way of God extending compassion and forgiveness towards us. And so God's compassion towards the Ninevites is hopefully one that brings us hope and is a reminder of what God has done for us. Right? It gives us hope because it shows us that there's no sin that can separate us, because these people were clearly deserving of the punishment, but God chooses to forgive them regardless. Right? It's also a great reminder of showing what God has done for us, where God very easily could have chosen to rule mankind with strict justice, meaning that we're just all going to get what we deserve, and yet he had compassion towards us. And so there are times where God does act in strict justice, but with his humanity, with his people, he's choosing to act in compassionate justice of those who believe in Jesus are saved. Right? And when we look at the story of Jonah, you know, there's these conversations between God and Jonah weaved in and out the whole time. I feel like I was describing it to when I was talking to someone the other day, that the book of Jonah, the story, is just a very intimate story and a look into a conversation and a look into a relationship between God and one of his people. Right? There's these multiple conversations that we see, different examples of where God is having conversations with Jonah. He's showing him what he means. He's working with him. He's being patient with him. And so if I were able to boil down Jonah and just the story of Jonah into one phrase or sentence, I would describe it as God wants a relationship with his people. Right, that's something that we can take away from this that applies to us very much so today, of where I'm talking about God wants a relationship with his people. I'm saying he wants a relationship with you. Like I've mentioned earlier, it can be easy to overlook the Old Testament, and yet when we do, we miss out on so many great stories and ways we can learn about God. You know, we went through, as I said, Jonah, we went through all of it through our youth group. And the thing that stood out to me the most as we went through all of this was just how much God wants a relationship with his people. right? And that's modeled through his relationship with Jonah. Like I said, the whole book has these conversations that are weaving in and out of Jonah's conversations with God, and not just conversations, but direct uses of nature to communicate with Jonah, right? And we get a very personal relationship that God has with his people here. You know, Jonah is not someone that is perfect, as we've touched on, but God is working with him through his different issues and problems and disagreements that he has. Right, same with the people of Nineveh. The people of Nineveh are not perfect, and yet God wants a relationship with them. Even the sailors who were on the boat when there was a storm coming and Jonah gets thrown into the sea eventually earlier on in the letter or in the book, even those sailors end up converting and following God. Everywhere you look in the book of Jonah, there's examples of God wanting a relationship with his people. Right, Jonah is either constantly disobeying or constantly disagreeing with God, and he's running away from him sometimes, or even when he does eventually agree to go to Nineveh, he's kind of doing it half-heartedly, like he's going to go do what he needs to do, and then he's going to try and get out of there, kind of a thing. And yet, God is working with him in this, and God is patient. Right, he could have just chosen to just kill Jonah for disagreeing with him and then moved on, right, but instead he is walking alongside him. Right, he's walking with Jonah, he's trying to help him, he's directly talking to him, he gives him the plant analogy. You know, God is constantly communicating and working with Jonah, even when Jonah doesn't want to or just chooses to go directly against God. And God's patience here is because of how much he wants to be with his people. Right? If God didn't care about being with his people, he wouldn't care about being patient with them. He would just move on and go on to the next thing. Right, but because of how patient he is, it shows us just how much God cares for us. And I think I'm not the only person who would say this, but I think that we all need a lot of patience from God at times. Right? We don't always walk perfectly, so we need God to be patient with us. And I really do love the relationship between God and Jonah, because it models our own relationship, as I said, of where Jonah is constantly failing and he's constantly disobeying God. Right, and there's times where we will do the same. Jonah did not want to listen to what God had to say to him, and there might be times in our lives too where we do the same. Jonah didn't want to trust God's plan, and there might be times where we do the same as well. And yet, even in all of that, just like he did with Jonah, God wants to be with us. And so to close, I want to look briefly again at his lesson with the plant at the end of chapter 4. Right, Jonah is here, he's feeling this discomfort, and so God provides a plant for him. And then ultimately God takes that plant away, he has it die, so that he could teach him a lesson. Right, and not teach him a lesson like he's going to punish him for what he did, but like he's genuinely trying to help him to understand what he's going through and what God is thinking here. Right, and so I think it's important to recognize that, yes, there is discomfort that God is bringing upon Jonah in this, but he's not doing it for the sake of punishing him, right? He's not bringing upon the wind to make Jonah uncomfortable for the sake of giving him what he deserves, but he's doing it because he's trying to teach him, right? God is trying to teach him because he wants Jonah to understand him more, because God knows that the more we understand him, the better, the stronger, and the deeper our relationship is with him. And so for us, I think that translates into a few concrete ways, and there's definitely more ways than this, but if we are to grow in our relationship with God, then we need to learn more about him, right? And that means that we need to be spending time with him in his word, looking at stories like Jonah that help us to learn more about him, or even also spending time with him in prayer, both with others and with alone. We have our prayer team who will be with you during the last song and after service. Right, but ultimately it's just about spending time with God in all these variety of different ways. Right, like I said, God wants us to understand him more so we can grow in our relationship with him. In the same way that he's trying to teach Jonah and help him, he wants to do the same with us. And so to close, I'd like to invite the worship team up. But to close, I want to reiterate again that we can learn through the story of Jonah that God wants a relationship with his people, meaning that God wants a relationship with you. right? If you're someone who's been walking with Jesus for a number of years, then hopefully this passage is still one that reminds us that there is still ways in which we can grow deeper in our relationship with God. It doesn't have to be stagnant, right? We can always continue to grow in our relationship with God, whether you've been walking with him for 1 year or 40 or longer, right? Or maybe you're someone who does not have a relationship with him. And hopefully this story is one that helps you have a glimpse more into how much God cares about you and how much God wants a relationship with you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Jonah and the story in which it provides for us. We thank you for how it just shows us a glimpse into your heart and how ultimately, God, you are a God who cares about us, who is patient with us, and wants a relationship with us. So I just pray for all these people here, Lord, and I pray for all of us that if we have a relationship with you, that we will continue to grow in that we will be continuing to spend time with you and developing a deeper and deeper relationship with you. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who does not have a relationship with you for whatever reason, whether that's from running away from you or whatever it might be, Lord, that I just pray that they will be able to see through your eyes and see that you want a relationship with them. And Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have to open up your word, to look and see what you have for us and how, Lord, you are with us. And I pray for all of us as we go throughout this time that we will remember that you want a relationship with us. And we pray all of this in your name.